Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, Lord, this morning we assemble ourselves in thy house, having thy word before us, and we rejoice in that. And Father, we acknowledge, Lord, that it is a weak vessel that will be proclaiming a powerful word. And so we just pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would speak to each and every one of our hearts, and that we might be attentive to what thy Spirit would speak to us, and acknowledge that this is thy word, and that thou art having a message for us, Lord, that we should write in our hearts. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with us, bless us, may thy name be glorified, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read from chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 18, and then reading through verse 16 of the following chapter.
Брати наші, да се чита із Святого Євангелія по Йовану, 15 глава, початок читання на 18 стиху і до края тієї глави, і онда 16 стихова із 16 глави. Значить, 15 глава, 18 стих до 16 глави, 16 стих.
If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. They had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. I believe that those of us that are gathered here have a great appreciation for the Word of God and are so thankful that God has left unto us His Word, that we might know truth, that we might know His way, that we might know the plan of salvation, that we might know the things of God, and that we might be directed in His way. And so as we live out our years, we perhaps even in as time goes on, we have even a greater and a greater sense of an appreciation for God's Word and for its truth that it stands for. We see so much deception in this world. Satan, the father of lies, is working very much to spread his lies, spread his deceit, and yet we turn to God's Word and we find this is truth. We see the Spirit of truth working in our hearts, working through us as we read His Scriptures and as we come to know what Jesus Christ has spoken, knowing that they are the words of God, and so it's a great blessing and to our lives. And so we love Him. We read here in this gospel that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. When we love God, when we appreciate what the Word stands for and what its truth is, we love him, we keep his commandments, and then a beautiful thing happens. He comes to us, and we will be loved by our Father, and they will, both him, the Father, and Jesus, will make themselves manifest to us. We will have our abode with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We're experiencing this love that comes from the Father, comes from Jesus Christ, and he's asking us to continue in that, abide in that, have that fellowship with that. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. When we come to know him, we love him, and we express our love toward him by keeping his commandments. And when we do that, we have fellowship with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he makes his abode with us, and we come to know him. We come to know him. We read his words. We keep his commandments. We value that Jesus Christ has brought the word of God to us. And we keep his commandments, and he abides within us. And that's a beautiful thing to behold and to think on, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his Father abide with us. Beautiful thing. But then Jesus says, as we pick up the reading where we began reading this morning, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. We love the Father. Jesus loves the Father. They make their abode with us, but the world hates us. But the world hated Jesus before the world hated us. And so it's a strong message that we need to remember that we love God. We love Jesus' word. And we want to abide in him. We want to keep his commandments, but know that there's going to be ramifications for that, that the world will hate us, even as they hated Jesus Christ. And so Jesus' message to us this morning is that the world will hate you. And so he's speaking this to us. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus Christ pulled us out of this world. He called us out of this world. Even as he is not of this world, we are now not of this world as well. And when we are not of this world, then the world hates us. But if we were part of the world would love us because we are one of their own. But he's saying, because you are not of this world, the world hates you. And then he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus Christ came here to bring forth the words of God. He speaks that in his word. If we go back a couple chapters, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. For I know that his commandment is life everlasting." He's giving us his commandment. He's given us the commandments of God. And he's bringing forth God's message. He's not even bringing home, the Lord Jesus Christ is not even bringing forth his own words, but he's bringing forth the words of his Father. And Jesus knows that his commandment, the Father's commandment, is life everlasting. "Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as my Father said unto me, so I speak." So we are confident that when we read these red letters in the Bible, that these are actually the words of the Father ultimately. And so he's saying unto them, "Remember the words that I spoke unto you. Remember them. Call them to remembrance. Write them indelibly upon your heart." Even as it says in Hebrews that the law is no longer on paper, but now it's written in our hearts. And so he's saying, "Remember this word that I spoke unto you." The servant is not greater than his Lord. If the world hated Jesus and they persecuted him and ultimately crucified him, then we will be treated in like manner. There will be no difference, Jesus is saying. The servant's not greater than his Lord. So what they did to Jesus, they will do to you as well. And Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, and then ultimately this word also then comes to us as well. And so this is his message to them. "Hear my words. Hear my words. The world's going to hate you. And because you're not of this world, they're going to persecute you just as they persecuted me. But there will be some that will keep your sayings, even as some have kept my sayings." And so we are in like manner with Jesus Christ in this. "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." As I said here in the beginning, we love God's word. We know that it gives life. We know that the commandment of Jesus Christ is life everlasting. And so we love him and we keep his commandments. And as we love him and keep his commandments, he abides in us. But these of the world, Jesus is saying here, they don't keep his commandments, and so they don't know Jesus, and neither, if they don't know Jesus, neither do they know the Father. And so Jesus is saying, they're going to do these things because they don't know me. They don't know me. They don't have a fellowship with me. They don't keep my commandments. They don't have regard for me. They don't know me. And so since they don't know me, they're going to do these horrible things to you. Jesus said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." Jesus Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to them. He brought them God's message to them. He gave them a message so that they might have life everlasting, and they would have none of it. They wouldn't pay attention to it. They wouldn't heed those commandments. But he came, and he spoke unto them. And again, it's very important that we consider what the words of Jesus Christ are. They are very prominent. They're very important in our lives, that we understand what Jesus is saying and what his message is to us. Jesus Christ exposed their sin to them. Jesus Christ said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And when Jesus Christ speaks, he's speaking with authority and with power. And the people recognize that on the Sermon on the Mount. They recognize that this man's speaking with authority and with great power. And he spoke unto them, and he convinced them of their sin. He exposed their sin to them. Just as the law exposed sin, Jesus was exposing their sin to them. And so now Jesus is saying, now you can't cover your sin. It's exposed. It's exposed. You have no cloak for your sin. You can't cover your sin. Your sin is exposed. Your sin can be forgiven. Your sins can be placed away from you. Your sins can die as you have faith in the Son of God, but they would not. And so Jesus Christ is saying that him and his Father are one. And so he's saying to them, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." You can't love God and not me. He said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." And so we always have to remember that the Trinity, the power of the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus says to his disciples, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Jesus was doing these great miracles in their presence. He'd done so many things. Think of the man that was born blind, how he did that, and how that blind man was convincing them of their sin, that they would not want to believe that truly this was the Son of God. And then we read a couple chapters earlier how Lazarus was raised from the dead by the word of Jesus Christ. And so it happens that some of the Pharisees went back and told the chief Pharisees that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And those chief Pharisees are saying among themselves, what are we going to do? This man's going to take away both our place and our nation with these mighty miracles that he's doing. And so Jesus Christ is saying to them, I did miracles that no man has ever done, and you won't believe me. You won't believe that I'm the Son of God. You won't believe that I'm Emmanuel. You won't believe that I'm the Messiah come as the anointed one, the Christ, to save your souls. You will not believe it. And so since they would not believe it, and they had seen the miracles, it says that they hated both me and my Father, Jesus says. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. I'd like to read that in Psalm 69, how it speaks of that they hated Jesus Christ without a cause. There was no reason that they should hate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, John the Baptist came to you not eating and not drinking, and you say he has a devil, and Jesus Christ came to you and he came both eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a sinner. You would not believe. The message came to you, and you would not believe it. There was no cause for the hatred that they had for Jesus Christ. And so David in Psalm 69 writes, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then restored I which I took not away. What they have done to Jesus, they have done to the disciples. And what they have done to the disciples may come a time in our lives when they will likewise do these things unto us. And so the message of Jesus Christ in this morning hour is that as we are the servants of God, as we love him and keep his commandments, what they did to Jesus is going to be no different than what they will do to us and can do to us. But when the Comforter has come, so Jesus is speaking now a word of encouragement. He's speaking to them initially that you'll be hated, you'll be persecuted, and as they did to me, they will also do to you. Then he changes and he says, but when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Jesus Christ is telling them, the Comforter is coming, and he's going to testify of me. And you know where he's coming from? He's coming from the Father. And he was making that very clear to them. He said it twice. He is coming from the Father. And then he tells them, and ye also shall bear witness of me, because you have been with me from the beginning. You've seen all my miracles. You've heard the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard all my commandments. You've heard the word that I brought forth, both in public and in private. And he says, and you will testify of me. And that they did, as we read the Acts of the Apostles. And then again, Jesus is saying here, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. These things have I spoken unto you. We come to appreciate the words of Jesus Christ. These things have I spoken unto you. They give us life. The words of Jesus Christ, they give us life. And they allow us to have that abundant life in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, we ought to pay very close attention, knowing that's the word of truth. There's deceit and deception in this world. But Jesus Christ came to bring us the word of the Father, and it is truth. And so Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking to us. And we ought to pay close attention to what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And so he's telling his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." You should not be made to stumble as I'm telling you that the world's going to hate you. They are going to persecute you. Don't stumble in that. A coach may tell his team, "We're going to do this. We practiced hard. We worked out hard, and we're going to win this game, and we're going to go on and win the championship, and we're going to be victorious." A general may tell the army, "We have the best equipment, you're well trained, we're going to fight against the enemy, and we're going to win this war. And we'll come back, and there'll be parades in the street." That's not the message of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ is, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." They are going to go through difficult times. They're going to experience persecution. They are going to experience the hatred of the world. They are going to be the outcast. And so it is that for us, there may come a time. We may experience it. We may not. We may. But there may come a time when we will be socially outcast from society, that we would suffer persecution, that we would be hated of the world, that there might be religious zealots that might kick us out of the synagogue, as it happened here, that there may be time when some may kill us. And Jesus says, "And all these things will they do unto you because they have not known me or the Father." They have bought the deception. They have bought the lies of the Father of lies. But our heart is committed. We love Jesus Christ. We love him and we keep his commandments. And we know that this life is short, and whatever transpires in this life will all be gone. Then comes eternity. And if we've been found faithful, if we've been found in him, that we will be in his presence throughout all eternity. We will be a part of that resurrection of life, and we will live with him forever. And then he says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." Again, going back to the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brought forth this message. He brought forth this truth. And he went to the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit again to bring the word of truth. The Spirit of truth is bringing forth the truth. And he's saying, "Remember these things that I told you. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ." And then he says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have told you these things, sorrow hath filled your heart." Jesus is telling them, "I'm going to go away." And they didn't hear that message, because sorrow has filled their hearts, because they heard a message that the world's going to hate them, that they are going to be persecuted, that they will be kicked out of the synagogue, and that they will be killed as well. And then again, as we read through the Acts of the Apostles, we see these things that they transpired. We see that James was beheaded. We see the other apostles, things happening to them. I can't remember the other. There were others in the Acts of the Apostles that they gave their life for the Lord. They were hated. And these things had transpired, but they were able to recall the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put them in expectation of these things, that they would happen. And we are being put in expectation of these things, that they may happen to us as well. But we are to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember that he told us of these things. and not allow sorrow to fill our hearts. Jesus Christ then says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." So we have the Comforter. We have the Spirit of Truth. We have the Holy Ghost who will guide us. And then Jesus says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And the Holy Spirit has done that. He reproved the world of sin. That sin was exposed to them. The Holy Spirit was showing to them that those that would not believe on him, that they are in sin. That without Jesus Christ, they have damnation abiding in them. Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." You shall die in your sins. And so the Holy Ghost was, and the Comforter was convicting them. He was reproving the world of their sin because they would not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. "If ye believe not that I am he," Jesus says, "ye shall die in your sins." The Bible also says, this is such a very simple statement, but very powerful. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And so the Holy Ghost was going to be convicting the world of sin, reproving the world of sin, because they would not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And the wrath of God was going to abide on them. "And of righteousness, because Jesus Christ was righteous." He was our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And so the Holy Spirit was convicting or reproving the world of that. That Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We have no righteousness of ourselves, but our righteousness is of Jesus Christ. "And of judgment, that there will be a day of wrath for those who will not believe in Jesus Christ." And then he says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." Again, Jesus Christ just speaking to us through his word, speaking to us, giving us the words of truth. And we take them into our hearts and we write them indelibly upon our minds and our souls and our hearts, that we would know what Jesus Christ says and that we would live according to his commandments, blessing his name here upon this earth. And so he says, I have a lot more things to say, but you can't bear them now. After they were hearing that they were going to be hated, persecuted, cast out of the synagogue, and killed, he had more things to say, but they couldn't bear them now. And Jesus Christ and the Lord, in his faithfulness, he gives unto us that which is meaningful and relevant to the day that we are in. He gives unto us that which we need to know, and he blesses us with his Holy Spirit. And then, as often is the case, that we read passages of Scripture and we love them and we take them in, and then perhaps years later, we read that same passage of Scripture and something else comes out to us that's meaningful and relevant to the day that we are living in and to the experiences of life that we are currently having. And so that's how loving our Lord is toward us. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Spirit is not going to speak of himself. Jesus didn't speak of himself, but what the Father gave, that they speak, both Jesus and the Spirit. And so the Spirit does speak to us, and the Spirit did speak to the apostles as they went about during the early church period. The Acts of the Apostles record that the Holy Spirit gave instruction to Philip to go join himself to the eunuch's chariot and to explain to him what Isaiah was speaking about. When Peter was there in a trance seeing the sheet come down from heaven, the Holy Spirit at that time guided Peter into all truth, and he told Peter, "Three men are here looking for you. "Go with them, doubting nothing." And he went in a way that the previous Jews, all the generations, had never done before, going to a Gentile and eating with him and declaring to him the word of God. But the Spirit guided him into all truth. The Spirit guided Paul and Barnabas that they would be separated out to go preach the gospel. The Spirit guided them that they should not preach the word in Asia for whatever reason it was at that time. And so we could see that the Spirit was working in them through this time. And the Spirit will be faithful and will guide us into all truth as we have need of him. And he shall glorify me, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, shall glorify Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so it is that we are always to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, because he brought us forth the words of salvation. He brought forth the truth, and he's giving unto us eternal life. And so Jesus Christ says, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." The Trinity working in concert together to glorify the Father, glorify them, and that we might glorify them here upon this earth. And so Jesus Christ says, concluding here, that "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go unto the Father." You're not going to see me because I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be buried. You will not see me. And then he says, "And a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go unto the Father." And so he's telling them, "I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be resurrected, and I will live on forever. And he will be with the Father." That is such a powerful statement, that he's telling the disciples that they're going to see him again. "A little while, and you're going to see me. I will be crucified, I will be in the grave, but I'm going to come out, and you will see me." Yesterday, during the funeral service for Sister Veronica, Brother Bill Blumel read some verses at the graveside, and he read a whole series of verses, but yet there was one that really touched me, and I'd like to share that verse here, speaking of how Jesus was resurrected and how he's telling his disciples that they will see him again. The Apostle Paul says, "Being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Then he says, "that I might know him." When we have this faith in Jesus Christ and we abide in him and he abides in us because we love him and we keep his commandments and we have his righteousness in us, he says, "that I might know him," that we might know him. Jesus says that the world doesn't know them, him and his Father. The world doesn't know them because they don't love him and they don't keep his commandments. And so he says, "that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." This is a beautiful verse that speaks to what Jesus Christ here was teaching to the disciples, that they're going to be hated, they're going to be persecuted, they're going to be cast out of the synagogue, and they're going to be killed. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, "that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Yes, they were persecuted. The Apostle Paul, while he was yet Saul, spoke of these horrific acts that he did to them in the Acts of the Apostles. The Apostle Paul, speaking of his former life, he says, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He was going to persecute, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, even as Jesus said that they would be put to death, He says, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Saul was an example of what Jesus was telling the disciples, that these are the things that you're going to experience. These are the things you're going to experience. And they did. Jesus spoke these words unto them that they might be in expectation that these things are coming. These things are coming. We have the words of Jesus Christ that we might be in expectation that these things may come. There's a simple song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Another verse from that song says, though no one join me, still I will follow. I love my Jesus that much that though no one join me, still I will follow, no turning back. Another line from that song says, the world behind me, the cross before me. I am committed. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. We have the words of Jesus. We have the words of Jesus. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Is commitment and praise and glory belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And how good a reminder it is when we are told again of how the world is not a place where the word of Jesus Christ is received. There is opposition. And then we are also given the exceeding precious promise of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us into his truth, that he would show us of the things of the Father and the Son. And it is one of his ministries, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus Christ. And we read in Philippians chapter 2 that God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are also reminded in our reading from John chapter 15 that we are to bear witness. We have heard the word of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that the Spirit will testify of him. And he says to his disciples, ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. We've heard the word. It is also our ministry and purpose here on this earth to testify of the good, true word of God, salvation that he has brought. And he truly is worthy. And may our hearts be stirred by the songs that we have sung together and the word that we have heard this morning to do that. God bless his word. Amen.